Hello, I'm Chris Baisden, an editor with AICPA's Journal of Accountancy. You're listening to the JFA podcast, where we talk about the key issues facing the accounting profession. Today on the podcast, I'm going to be talking about succession planning at smaller firms. But before we get started, please take a few seconds to listen to a short message from our sponsor.
Did you know 75% of people now prefer to pay by credit or debit? With CPA Charge, you can let your clients pay their bill online and you'll get the reporting details you need for easy reconciliation. AICPA members can sign up at cpacharge.com/podcast and get your program fee waived for 6 months.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be talking about succession planning with Lester McKeever. Lester, who is a former Chicago Federal Reserve chairman, recently sold his practice, Washington Pittman & McKeever, to the larger New York firm, Mitchell & Titus. I should also note that in October, Lester was presented with the AICPA's Gold Medal Award of Distinction. So Lester, today we're going to talk about succession planning. Let's set the stage a little bit. Can you please tell us a little bit about your firm, Washington Pittman & McKeever? How big was it before the sale? What type of work does it do? That type of thing.
Washington, Pittman & McKeever grew out of Mary T. Washington, which was an individual practitioner. She started her practice in 1939. So in 1940, I think she expanded it with bringing in Hiram Pittman as a partner. And then later in 1960, I became a partner. And in 1976, I became managing partner of the firm, which was then Washington, Pittman & McKeever. We're a typically structured CPA firm offering audit, tax, and specialized accounting services. Primarily, initially, we were serving small African-American companies in the community. We had one large African-American client, which was Fuller Products Company, which was founded by S.B. Fuller, and it was a large a cosmetic manufacturing firm. I guess our first client that we consider a major corporate client was Commonwealth Edison, and that was in 1971 when they gave us one of their employee benefit plans to audit. The next year they gave us their railroad subsidiary. Then Commonwealth Edison was merged into now a group of companies that are the principal company is Exelon, and so we audit all of the employee benefit plans for all of the consolidated companies. At the time of the merger, we had about 30 professional staff. We had spun off our consulting group, which was about another 30 people, so that was not merged into Mitchell Titus.
Now, did you know Mary T. Washington?
Mary T. Washington was a phenomenal lady. I worked with her for about 20 years before she retired. She was a perfectionist, I would say, a strict taskmaster. I mean, she was really difficult when it came to being truly a professional and accurate in all that you do. So if it wasn't right the first time, you redid it until it was right. And so, but she's still a compassionate woman. She was a family lady. She would do everything she could to help you if asked. And so working with her has been a wonderful experience. Her greatest pride was developing African-American CPAs, and at one point we gave her a bracelet with one little trinket for every CPA that passed, and it was more than 20, and so it was over the years. So that was really a tribute to her.
What has it meant to you to be associated with the firm that she founded?
Well, it's a great source of pride for me and just about everyone that has worked for her. She was, as I said, a disciplinarian, but she was a brilliant lady that worked hard in trying to not only help young African Americans and minorities, but help the community. And so she thought that she was helping the community by really giving the support to the young people that worked through the firm.
Do you remember the first time that she you talked a little bit about her being a taskmaster. Do you remember the first time that maybe she called you into her office to talk about a return or something? And I'm not saying you made a mistake, but maybe there was something she would have wanted you to improve upon. Do you remember that?
I was so just about in every instance. No, but I learned a lot. She had an office at 50th East in Chicago, 50 East 24th Street, I think it was. But I worked when we worked during tax season was at her home on Lucas Boulevard. So she was very smart. We'd come in after the normal business hours. She would prepare dinner for us, and then she would go upstairs and take a nap, obviously, so that when we were ready to go at 12, she would come down at midnight. She would come down to motivate us to continue working. So
that's funny. I've worked at places that have bought food, but I don't know that I've ever worked at a place where my boss fixed me food. Yeah. Did she have a specialty? Anything you remember
That was one thing. She prepared steaks, but her husband was really very helpful because he knew how hard she was working. So he took on some of the responsibility. He was the cook sometimes. Uh-huh. So.
Mm. Very good. So let's change gears now a little bit and talk about succession planning. You recently sold the firm. Can you take us into your thought process behind that deal?
Well, you can never start thinking about succession too soon. That's one of the mistakes small businesses generally make. I mean, they try and do something when it's almost too late to be effective. But the whole process is you think about your firm, the growth of your firm, because you have to stay in business in order to have succession. So you've got to try and develop a very quality firm in the process. And you can only do that with good people. So when it comes to succession, the issue is whether or not it should be internal or external. If the partners that you have think that they can carry on the business, you may not have to be acquired. You can do that internally. But everything is so complicated today and scale is so important that it might be very smart to merge with another firm. And in doing that, you think about your own firm, how you've developed it, what specialties have you developed, what will be compatible and attractive to another firm, what skills do they have, how can you complement each other. And we were just very fortunate in running into Mitchell and Titus, who is the largest African-American control firm in the United States.
What kind of groundwork had you done over the years that helped you prepare for the sale?
Well, I worried a lot. That was groundwork. But what I thought that it would be important to have constant communication with our existing staff and people and get their input as to where they thought the firm was going, what was in the best interest, was it best for us to try and continue to grow internally, or was it best to consider for us to merge. In the end, they all agreed that perhaps the best move, since we've always wanted a large national African-American firm, to merge with another firm.
And you talked a little bit about the staff. How did you prepare the staff for the change?
There was communication. I think it was probably 2 or 3 years that we really talked about the future and how we were going. And so at the time that this opportunity came up, we had fully kind of hashed out what was in the best interest of the firm and had agreed that this might be the right time, the right opportunity for us to do so.
What are some of the keys to a smooth transition to new ownership? I mean, I know that when you're dealing with folks, when you're talking to the new owners, that can be, you put a lot of your life into the firm and it can be sensitive conversations. Can you talk a little bit about what the keys to the smooth transition are?
Well, in this instance, it was made a lot smoother because there were certain clients that we couldn't transfer at this time. Mm-hmm. So we had to keep Washington, Pittman, and McKeever in existence, and it still exists to serve those clients. But in doing so, there were two different systems, one at Washington, Pittman, and McKeever, one at Mitchell Titus. We had to keep those separate for a while. And so when you try to merge, you know, technologies and everything, it could be really difficult. Since we still have Washington and McKeever still working on that system, it's taken some time for all the systems to merge into one, and so that has made it a much smoother kind of transition for us.
And what did you learn about the succession process that you wish other CPA firm owners knew?
One is to fully understand that when you considering a merger, you better get some good lawyers on your side. And so I think that it's a lot of legal considerations when you do that, and you hope that you're making the right decision. And when you're dealing with another firm that's larger than you and has had a more experience in mergers and acquisitions, you better be prepared to better handle that situation. Mm.
Do you have any advice for owners who keep working with the firm that acquires their old firm?
Well, in my instance, and I would think it would be true in most instances, because client relationships are so important, that the acquiring firm or merging firm would want you to stay for a time just to fully transition your clients into the merged situation. I have personally a 3-year commitment with reduced hours, which hopefully I can take advantage of pretty soon, but I haven't been able to do that just yet. But it's important to really have those discussions with the acquiring firm even before you merge as to how you're going to use your people as compared to how you're going to their people, and how both groups are going to merge and become one. All of those discussions you try and have even before you close a merger deal.
So let's change gears again and talk a little bit about minorities in the accounting profession. What advice do you have from minority-owned firms right now?
Well, to me, it's kind of sad that we don't continue to have minority firms that are truly growing. I know that it's really a complicated profession right now, and in order to really serve your clients, a lot of technology, a lot of standards and everything involved, and being able to keep up with what's the changes in the profession is quite challenging. So I can't tell other firms what to do, but I throughout the years have thought that, you know, we should have, as many of us that can, merge to really create a firm of some scale so that we can offer our clients a broader range of services.
And lastly, what can firms that want to increase diversity do to help reach that goal? So firms that are maybe they're not minority firms, but they want to increase the diversity, what can they do?
Well, I really have to compliment the larger firms and the firms in Chicago that I'm familiar with. They seem to all be trying to make this a top priority. So I would think that if they're getting the cream of the crop, I mean, they're getting great employees, that if the firms would just treat them as such, that as an equal and not as a unique individual, and put them on the right path for growth, and let the individual see that there is opportunity within those firms. Because unfortunately, you still don't see many managers or partners at any level of any of the firms, and so that could be a kind of a mental block to growth for those persons working there. So I say just do the mentorship, put them on the right path as every other employee. Don't make them unique. They have the talent, just give them the opportunity.
Thanks, Lester. And I'd also like to thank our audience for listening today. If you enjoyed this podcast, check out more J of A podcasts on our website and on Podomatic.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.